This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد My dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His help, and we ask for His forgiveness. We all praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for once again allowing us to be gathered in this beautiful masjid, of course with some social distancing, alhamdulillah. But we are gathered here, we performed our Salatul Isha together in jama'ah. And this is a great ni'mah. A great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should thank Him for this opportunity. And that we are here gathered after salah, learning from the lessons that have been taught to us by our beloved Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward each and every one of you. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us like we are gathered here, but in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. Now today, as you probably are aware, that the topic is, are we connected or disconnected? And I'm talking about, are we connected to Allah or are we disconnected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And to start off the lesson today, I wanted to pose a story, a very beautiful story. And every time when I read this story or I hear this story, it always gives me goosebumps, but it's such a beautiful story, subhanAllah. The story is about Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah. And he narrates this story. He said that he was traveling to Bilad al-Sham. And remember, Imam Ahmad was, as we know, a very famous Imam at his time. Until today, we seek knowledge from him. We gain knowledge, especially fiqh knowledge from him. SubhanAllah, at the peak of his time, every Muslim, almost every Muslim knew the name Imam Ahmad, Ibn Hanbal rahimahullah. But of course, he didn't have a Facebook account or a Twitter account. No one knew how he looked like, except for those around him, except for those who are near to him in that town or that city that he was from. Nobody else knew who he is. And he took this journey to Bilad al-Sham, to learn certain ahadith or narrations about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And back then, as we know, the scholars used to travel a lot, not like today in our fingertips. SubhanAllah, we've got the ahadith. But they used to travel for even one hadith. And when he reached to a certain place, he saw a masjid. It was late at night. He saw a masjid. And he decided to take a rest in that masjid. So he went inside, and he went in one of the corners of the masjid and he was laying down. Now the security guard of the masjid, not knowing that is Imam Ahmad, he went up to him and said, hey, the masjid is closed. You need to leave. Get out. You know, in a very harsh tone. You need to get out. So Imam Ahmad, he replied, where am I going to go? I'm a traveler. I mean, I need a place to stay. But the man said, you need to get out. The mosque is closed. So he picked up his things and he went outside in the corridor of the masjid and he decided to lay down on the corridor of the masjid. The security guard came again and he said, hey, didn't I tell you to leave? The mosque is closed. Get out of here. Again, Imam Ahmad replied, where am I going to go? I'm a traveler. I've got no place to go. So upon this, the security guard was so annoyed that he grabbed the leg of Imam Ahmad, dragged him to the middle of the street, and he threw him there. Now imagine, you know, and Imam Ahmad being a very humble guy, he is, subhanAllah, he did not tell him, you know who you're speaking to. No, he didn't mention that. Now on the other side of the road, there was a baker. And for those of you who know something about bakery, they get up really early in the morning, you know, to knead the bread, you know, the dough, and to get it all ready for morning breakfast. So he was up and he was doing his work and he saw the chaos outside, the incident that happened. And he went to the middle of the road and he said to that man, which is Imam Ahmad as we know, he said to him, do you need a place to stay? You can come and stay at my bakery. I'm already up, I'm doing some work there. You can come and stay there with me. So Imam Ahmad, he thanked him and he said, definitely, thank you. And he went to the bakery. Now Imam Ahmad is trying to sleep, but something is keeping him awake. While he was there, he was witnessing the baker. Now the baker, as he was working, getting the dough ready, kneading the dough, putting it in the oven, the entire time, his tongue was moistened with the remembrance of Allah. The entire time he was kneading the dough, he was saying, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Astaghfirullah. He kept on repeating these words continuously. And that kept Imam Ahmad awake. And he looked at that man and he said, you know, in amazement, you know, what is it that you were saying? I mean, has it done any benefit to you? This adhkar, the dhikr of Allah, what benefit has this given you? So this baker, he said that the remembrance of Allah that I do, I've been doing it for a long time, and the benefit that I get from this is that every single dua that I have asked Allah has been accepted. Imam Ahmad was shocked. He said, every single dua has been accepted by Allah. He said, every single dua has been accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except for one. Except for one. So Imam Ahmad asked, what is that one dua that has not been accepted? He said, an aral Imam Ahmad. He said, to have a chance to see Imam Ahmad. That is the only dua that has not been answered. And he has no idea he's speaking to Imam Ahmad. Imam Ahmad embraced this man and started to cry. And he said, Subhanallah, ha huwa Allah, qad ja'aka bi Ahmad, yajurruhu bi rijlihi ila makhbazik. He replied, Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. This is Allah, that he grabbed the feet of Imam Ahmad and dragged him. Not saying Imam Ahmad, grabbed the feet of Ahmad and took him towards your bakery for your dua to be accepted. Allahu Akbar. Do we know anything about this baker other than this story? Not really. No one really knows who this baker really is. But yet he has been chosen by Allah as a great servant of Allah, that Allah elevated his status that every single dua of his was accepted, including a chance to see Imam Ahmad, subhanAllah. Of course, inshaAllah ta'ala, he is in paradise. But this makes you think how much this baker is connected to Allah. The question is about ourselves. How much are we connected to Allah? How much tasbih and remembrance of Allah do we do on a daily basis? How is our salah in terms of khushu' towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How is our dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The quality of our dua, our recitation of the Quran, the quality of our recitation. How is that when it comes to the connection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What are we connected to today? If we look around our youth, if we look at ourselves as well, what are we connected to today? And majority of us will say that we are connected to our devices. We are all connected to our devices. Of course, there's nothing wrong with being connected to our devices if we use it in the right way. Like alhamdulillah, we are live streaming. And of course, during the lockdown, the masajids have been closed. And we have to use the technology that we have to give da'wah. And of course, that is all part of gaining the hasanat of Allah. But a lot of our youth and us, we are indulged in our devices and we are using it to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be disconnected to the world and be disconnected to the one who created the world. That is what we are doing today. We are connected to social media. We are connected to Netflix, to Stan. We are connected in our social media accounts, so many different platforms. Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, and a new one, TikTok. We are connected to that today. Ask the youth. And alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me to be teaching in a school. And I'm speaking to the youth on a daily basis. And they tell me what the youth are connected to today, and that is what they are connected to. People don't understand the dangers of certain platforms and how that disconnects them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They think what they are doing will benefit them. They think that it is cool to be in these platforms, but they forget about the dangers and the effect it has on the mind of people. And it is, subhanAllah, it's mind-blowing when you realize the effects that it has. I'll give you a couple of examples. The platforms where you watch movies, like Netflix and Stan. Today, almost every single movie, almost every single TV show, as an example, it has a homosexual character. And that has become so normal in the society that our youth are growing up watching this, thinking that this is normal. That this has become something normal. Now, I'm not talking or having a debate about anything to do with homosexuality. We're not talking about the homosexual people here. We are talking about the act itself. And what Islam says about it, what Christianity says about it, what Judaism says about it, what the major religions of the world say about it. We know. But this filth is now everywhere, that our youth think that it is normal to have homosexual tendencies because of what they are growing up watching. And I have been in contact with people who ask the question, what is wrong with them? There's nothing wrong with it. They are born with it. They are making us believe that it is normal. They are making us believe that they are born with it. That is what is happening while we are connected to these things and not being connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so, and without mentioning the name of any of the schools, but a particular Muslim school, someone has caught, unfortunately, two students from the same gender making out in the bathroom. This is Muslim school. This has become normal in the society. How dangerous this is. So much so that when an incident happened in our school a few years ago where a boy and a girl were caught together. And one of the teachers said that if I was the parent of that boy, I would at least be happy it's a girl that he's making out with. To that extent, like, people are happy that that is happening. At least it's a girl. SubhanAllah. That is the world we live in today. That is the world your children are growing up in. TikTok, another example. Out of all the social media platforms that I know of, TikTok is one of the worst. And that is what our youth today are connected so much in. TikTok is taking our youth out of their shell, giving them the courage to do things they wouldn't do in public. The dances that they do in front of the camera. The body movements that they do in front of the camera. I'm sure you've seen young youth, Muslims, out of nowhere they'll start moving their body. Out of nowhere they'll start doing these moves and acts. Why? Why is this happening? Because they think this has become normal. It's part of life. It's part of being cool. It's part of growing up. Not understanding the dangers of coming out of the shell. Not understanding the dangers of immodesty and the predators online that are out there. They're not understanding this. What saddened me was a case a sheikh mentioned in his talk, that there was a 16-year-old girl who had her videos on TikTok, very immodest videos. And because of a certain disease she had, she passed away. Her parents did not want her to be remembered by her videos online. Her parents tried to remove those videos, but they could not. Why? Because it belongs to TikTok. Everything our youth, your children put up online, it belongs to them. That is the dangers of being connected to the filth that is out there and not being connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a lot of us don't know. And we will be questioned by Allah, knowing this reality, what did you do to save our youth from these problems, from the filth of society? We will be questioned by Allah. Therefore, I urge myself and all of you, if you are parents, if you are caretakers, please watch and be mindful of what your children do online. Because wallahi, it will have a detrimental impact if we are not watchful about these things. So much so that even police come to schools and talk about the dangers of social media. If the police are doing that, what about us as Muslims? We need to show people the dangers of this. There was a study done May 2018 that on average, Australians aged between 14 and 24, they use social media 1 hour a day. Put together 1 hour a day. And the study says, the same study says that women between the same ages go on social media 2 hours a day. The same study. And that's social media itself. Another study was done in June 2019, where on average an Australian will check their phones regularly, approximately 85 times a day. They will check their phones. And you know what? It's, subhanAllah, it's become so robotic, so mechanical, that as soon as you're bored, you take your phone out and you start checking any messages, you know, any posts, anything, and start scrolling down when we're bored. That's what's happening. It's become a normal reaction to being bored. That our phones has come out and we start checking posts online. And the study says that 6.5 hours a day we are spending in front of the screen. That's a lot. Yes, it could be for good purposes. It could be for education. It could be for work purposes. That is there. But a lot of it is trash. A lot of it that we're watching is trash. That is what we are connected to today. Why is it that when we're bored, we cannot remember Allah during that time? Why is it that when we are bored, we cannot do some tasbih? Why is it that when we are bored, we cannot remember the verses of the Quran and start reciting it? Why can't we take out our phones and open the Quran app and start reading it? Why can't that happen? So there's something wrong with our mindset. We need to connect back with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to work on that. And wallahi al-azim, our children, they only learn from us. And so many times, the problems amongst the youth is because of what they see at home with their parents. How many cases, how many people do you know, families do you know, that during dinner, when you're supposed to be sitting with your family, conversing, it's a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to when we eat in a group, and converse with them, food brings people together. But today, we are so disconnected with our family, that at dinner time, that we place our children on one table, put in front of them the iPad, and turn on something for them to watch, so that they don't disturb us. And we are on the other table, watching whatever we want to watch. The husband on one side, the wife on the other side. We are so disconnected to our family, then of course we're going to be disconnected to Allah. The problems between husband and wife because of our devices. I've dealt with a few cases of divorce, of issues between husband and wife, because the husband says she's got all of these guys from her work on her phone. She's got them all as friends on Facebook, and I don't want her to be talking to them. And she says, well, he's got the girls on his Facebook account. So why can't I? Problems between husband and wife, to the extent where they eventually divorced. If we're not connected to our spouses, how are we going to be connected to Allah when we're so involved in these things? And these are the reality we're living in today. Imagine this generation now, imagine their children. And what's going to happen at their time? What else is out there to come? You know, it scares me, it scares all of us, subhanAllah. How long are we connected with Allah? That's a question we need to ask. If we spend so much time, 6.5 hours every day on the screen, 2 hours every day on social media, how much are we connected with Allah? Think about it on a daily basis. Your salah, if you combine the fard prayers, no more than 30 minutes a day. No more than 30 minutes a day, combine them. How long does 2 rak'ah of fajr take? How long does 4 rak'ah of dhuhr take? How long? Combine the 5 daily prayers, not more than 30 minutes. How much time do we spend on dhikr, on tasbih every day? Think about it. How much time do we spend on recitation of the Qur'an every day? Think about it. When was the last time we decided to memorize a surah of the Qur'an? Think about it. When was the last time you sat down and did istighfar 100 times? Think about it. But we are so connected to the trash and we forget about the treasure. That's the reality of today. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in the hadith that has been narrated by Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, and this is hadith Qudsi, narrated in Sahih Muslim. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when my servant does a good deed, I will multiply that good deed 10 times minimum, and even more if I wish. That is Allah. And he continues and says that when my servant does a sin, I will count it as one sin, or I may forgive him. That is Allah. And he said that when my servant comes to me a handspan, I go to him an arm's length. That is Allah. And he says that when my servant comes to me an arm's length, I go to him a fathom's length. That is Allah. And he says that when my servant comes to me walking, I go to him running. That is Allah. That is Allah. And he said that if my servant comes to me with a mountain of sins, but he has not committed shirk, I will forgive him. That is Allah. The one we are so disconnected from. The one who loves us so much. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there has been a hadith where the Prophet and Umar, they were walking. And there were a group of people, after a certain battle, there were a group of people that were scattered amongst the tents. And there was a lady who lost her child. And she was running around frantically because she lost her child. And then all of a sudden she found her child, she picked up the child, she embraced the child, and she fed the child. Upon seeing this, the Prophet ﷺ asked Umar radiallahu anhu, do you think that woman could ever throw her child into a fire? Umar radiallahu anhu, he replied, no ya Rasulullah, a mother can never throw her child into a fire. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us more than that mother to her child. That is Allah, whom we are so disconnected from. Who loves us, who calls us, yet we are not taking that call and we are not being connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, there are certain tips that I want to give myself and all of you that we can take to become connected with Allah. Number one, starting with your salah. Starting with your salah. We just prayed Salatul Isha. If you were to give yourself a mark out of 100 in terms of your khushu' and devotion, think about it yourself. What mark would you give yourself? If you were to give yourself a mark out of 100%, what would you give yourself? I'd be surprised if we rated ourselves more than 50%. I'd be very surprised. Because in salah, we tend to think of many other things. How much money I'm going to make tomorrow? What am I going to do tomorrow? At home, what am I going to do when I go there? What am I going to watch tonight before I go to sleep? These are the things that comes into our mind while we are in salah. The first tip that I want to mention is have khushu' in your prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, قَدَ أَفْلَهَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. That verily, indeed, without a doubt, the believers are successful. And he lists down the believers. Who are they? The first one, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. They are those that when they perform their salah, they perform it with khushu', with devotion, with concentration. Now think about your prayer. how mechanical and robotic our salah has become. You know, automatically, without thinking, you raise your hands, you're praying Alhamdulillah. But after غَيْرَ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ آمين, without thinking, إِنَّ عَطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرَ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. It's happening every first rak'ah. The second rak'ah, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدَ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ. Beautiful surahs, yes. But the point that I'm making is, our salah has become so mechanical, so robotic, that without thinking, automatically, just to finish our salah quickly, those surahs come into our mind. Think about it. If you have khushu and devotion, you would change your surahs now and then. To think about it. And how fortunate you are, subhanAllah, to have Sheikh Abu Ubaidah with you. Today he recited a different qira'ah in salah. Right? It makes you concentrate. It makes you really have khushu and devotion. I remember, side story, I remember in one of the masajids, a sheikh, he came in, you know, not local, but he came in, and they decided to, they told him to lead the prayer. And he decided to recite in Qira'a Hamza. And no one knew the Qira'a Hamza in that locality. So he's reciting, Maliki Yawmiddin. The people are thinking already, I'm one of them. I was thinking, okay, maybe he made a mistake. And then he said, Ihdina al-zirat al-mustaqim, zirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhum, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Now we are all shocked and stunned. I actually noticed people just looking at each other. What's going on? After salah, they got up and they're asking him, you read all wrong. What's wrong with you? SubhanAllah, he had to actually get up and tell them, sorry, I was reciting in Qira'a Hamza. I didn't know you didn't know that. But the point that I'm trying to make is, make change your surahs around. If you know different Qira'a, use them. You know, that is how you can develop khushu' in your prayer. Concentrate in your prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that as-salah miftahul jannah. That salah is the key to paradise. If your salah is not good, the rest of your deeds are not going to be good. That's what the Prophet said. And if your salah is good, the rest of your deeds will be good. So we need to fix that. If we can fix that, remember, that is your connection with Allah. Spend a bit of time in your sujood. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, the closest the servant is to Allah is in prostration. Spend a bit of time there. Make dua to Allah, especially during your sunnah prayers. You know, because in fard prayers, you're praying behind the imam most of the time. But in your sunnah prayers, at least make a bit of dua. Change your dua in your sujood. That builds that khushu' in your prayer. And inshallah ta'ala, that connection will make everything else better. Number two, dua. When was the last time you raised your hands up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you cried in front of Allah? When was the last time you begged for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When was the last time you spoke directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And I'm not talking about salah. I'm talking about other than salah. When you're home alone in your room, and that's when you raise your hands and you ask Allah. When did we do that last? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has encouraged us to make dua to Allah. Allah said, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. He said that when my servant asks about me, tell him, O Muhammad, that I'm close. I am near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ دَاعِي إِذَا دَعَانْ. I will accept his dua when he asks from me. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom we are so disconnected from. When was the last time you made this dua to Allah? Umar radiallahu anhu, just think of him at the moment. Big macho man, subhanallah, that he was. Yet, he was so soft when he came to communicating with Allah. His beard would become wet with the tears when he would communicate and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where are we? The problems of our life. We look for solutions in everybody else, but we forget to ask Allah for the solutions of our problems. That is how much disconnected we are. We go online on Facebook and we type our problem so that someone can help us there, but we don't ask Allah because we're connected on our devices. Tasbih, number three. Go back to the story of that baker, spending his free time doing tasbih, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We forget, we think, tasbih, what's that going to do? What's that going to do? But in the sight of Allah, your adhkar, your tasbih weighs heavier than a mountain of bad deeds. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, moisten your tongue with the remembrance of Allah. Kalimatan khafifatan ala al-lisan, thaqilatan fil mizan, habibatan ila ar-rahman. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim. Two phrases that is so light on the tongue, but heavy on the scale, and loved by Allah. Two phrases. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanallahi al-azim. How long does that take us? When we are driving to work or back from work, rather than listening to whatever you are listening to, do some tasbih. If you can listen to the Quran, beautiful. But moisten your tongue with the remembrance of Allah. Continue to do tasbih. One example to show you the reward of tasbih. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in a hadith that on the day of judgment, a man will be brought to be judged. He gives an example of a man. He said that man will be brought in front of Allah to be judged. And Allah will ask the angels who were writing his bad deeds to bring his bad deeds in front of him. The man will see a mountain upon mountains of bad deeds. And Allah will question him about each one. And the man will be trembling inside, thinking, that's it, khalas for me. And that deeds, the bad deeds will be placed on one side of the scale, which will tilt. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the angel to bring down his good deeds. The man will see a small paper or a scroll that says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That's it. And he's going to think, what is that going to do? What is that going to do in front of a mountain of bad deeds? As soon as that is placed on the other side of the scale, it will weigh heavier than mountains of bad deeds. And he will be forgiven by Allah, and he will enter into paradise. Going back to the hadith earlier, where the Prophet said that Allah says in hadith Qudsi, if a slave of Allah comes with a mountain of bad deeds, but he did not commit shirk, Allah will forgive him. But let's not take advantage of that. A lot of us think, yep, we will do the sins throughout our life, and just before I die, I will say, La ilaha illallah. That's my connection with Allah. I will say, La ilaha illallah, and I'll die. But think about it for a moment. When you're walking in the street, and all of a sudden you hit your foot on something, or something falls on your leg, what's the first word that comes out of your mouth? Sugar. Or maybe a swear word. Those are the first words that come out of our mouth. Not subhanallah, not alhamdulillah, not astaghfirullah. No. So in the pains and agony of death, do you think you'll remember to say la ilaha illallah? Do you think you're going to say that? There was a story about a man who was dying, his deathbed. And a sheikh came, and a group of people came to see him. And when they entered their house, the man was playing the music of Kulthum. And they said to the family, what is the matter with you? Your father's dying. And you've got the music on. Put some Quran at least. They felt really embarrassed, so they put the Quran on. Upon this, the dying man, he said, really angrily, he said, put back Kulthum because she soothes my heart. That's what's going to happen. If you don't live La ilaha illallah, you're not going to die upon La ilaha illallah. If you live La ilaha illallah and stay connected with Allah, you're going to die with La ilaha illallah. So we need to change now and be connected now with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's tasbih. Number four, istighfar. Continuous istighfar. To show that connection. To show Allah that we are ashamed of the sins that we've committed. Count the sins on a daily basis. We can't count them. Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Account yourself before you are held accountable. Do istighfar on a daily basis. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, إِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ فِي الْيَوْمِ مِئَةَ مَرَّةٍ. He said, I make istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100 times a day. Was he sinful? Did he commit any sins? No. But imagine the sins that we commit every single day. We should probably ask Allah more than 100 times of istighfar. But when was the last time really that we made istighfar one day more than 100 times? Think about it. When was the last time we did that? That's number four. Continue to do istighfar. Number five, the recitation of the Quran. We need to continuously, on a daily basis, spend a bit of time, just a bit of time. Have a plan that, you know what, every day I'm going to recite this portion from the Quran, even if it is half a page, even if it is a page, if you're fluent, even if it is half a juz or even a juz, but I will do it on a daily basis. Don't be a person who says, you know what, I'm going to recite a juz a day and you only last for 3 days. It's too much. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allah loves the deed that is small, but is continuous. Even if it is half a page, read it. And don't just read the Quran, understand the Quran. Read the meaning of the Quran. Implement that, what you have read, in your life. Do it on a daily basis. Wallahi, that is loved by Allah. Those are the words of Allah. If you want to stay connected to Allah, then read His words. Recite His words. Implement His words. And that will show real connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last point, which is probably one of the hardest, performing tahajjud. Performing tahajjud prayer. This is one of the hardest out of all the six. But the connection of tahajjud with Allah is not like anything else. Think about it. When you're performing salah, you're in front of people. The person next to you can see. Sometimes certain pride comes in our heart. We want to impress someone next to us. Sometimes that happens. May Allah never let that happen. But sometimes those things come because we're in front of people. We give sadaqah, people are watching, we give. You know, we do adhkar sometimes after salah, people are watching. Tahajjud, it is you and Allah. No one else is there. People are asleep at that time. That shows real connection with Allah. True connection with Allah. That is very tough to do. But as we know, so many ahadith about tahajjud. I'll give you one though. And this is a story that has been narrated to us. That Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he saw a dream. And in the dream, he's in paradise. He said that I'm holding silk, cloth of silk. And it's going everywhere with me. It's flying with me in paradise. And then he says that I see two angels who are trying to grab me and take me to hellfire. But then another angel comes and tells me, don't worry, you're safe. And tells the other angels to go away. He said I woke up and he was quite afraid of the dream. So he mentioned the dream to Hafsa radiallahu anha, who then narrated it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, how great is Abdullah ibn Umar? But he will be even greater if he performed the tahajjud prayers. Abdullah ibn Umar said, from that day, I never left my tahajjud prayers. That inspired him. But if we're busy at night before we go to sleep with our devices on, and we sleep late, so connected to our devices, disconnected with Allah for Fajr, we can't even get up for Fajr, then tahajjud is not even in the equation. But if we sleep early, as per the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, soon as you pray Isha, you go home, you go to bed quickly, early, you can get up early for tahajjud prayers. And that's going to help you, motivate you. Wallahi, a person who prays tahajjud prayers, their day is beautiful. They will enjoy their day. Allah will put so much barakah in their day. They'll be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of those six that I have mentioned can be done at tahajjud time if you want to. But throughout your day, spread it out if you like. When it comes to salah, make sure you pray with khushu'. When it comes to dua, make sure on a daily basis you are connected with Allah and you're asking Allah. Number three, make sure that you are doing tasbih on a daily basis. Make sure you are doing istighfar on a daily basis. Make sure you are reciting the Quran on a daily basis. And try to train yourself to get up for tahajjud. Even if it is once a month, you're trying something. If you can do it once a month, then change it after a few months. I'm going to do it once a week. If you can train yourself once a week, then you know what? I'm going to do it twice a week. Then I'm going to try to do it every day. And subhanAllah, a time will come where waking up for tahajjud will become a normal part of your life. And that is something we need to train ourselves. So let's be connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't be connected with the trash that is out there. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless each and every one of us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us connected with Allah. Wallahi, my brothers and sisters, once we are connected with Allah, our life is going to change. You will see a different person in you. People will see you as a role model. Not that you're doing it for people. You're doing it for Allah. But that change will bring about a new you. A beautiful servant of Allah that people will want to aspire to become like you. And that is a form of da'wah for the non-Muslims out there. That you are so connected with Allah, you don't worry about the trash that is out there. And I would like to end it off with a statement, a saying from the famous person that we know, Khabib Nurmagomedov. He said something amazing, which is very inspiring. He said that non-Muslims don't read the Quran. Non-Muslims don't read the Hadith, but they read you. So be the best ambassador to Islam. If we're connected to Allah, they will see Islam in you. And that will aspire them, that will encourage them to become like you. The trend that people are setting out there, which is trash, let's set the trend of being great Muslims and be connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us be connected with Allah. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather all like we are gathered here in Jannatul Firdaus. Wa jazakumullahu khair. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
جزاكم الله خير ان شاء الله. جزاكم الله خير. I want it.